Hello, and welcome back to The Sweet Spot. Warren Asher standing in at short notice for an ill Dave Clark, and we wish him the best of luck in terms of a quick recovery. So I'm stepping into the hot seat this week, and I'm delighted to say that I've been joined again by Steve Palmer. Steve, how are you doing?
Yes, good morning, Wazza. Great to see you. Get well soon, Dave. I suspect he had one too many jelly deals last night, Wazza. I know once you get started on the jelly deals, he can't stop. But yeah, he texted this morning saying how rough he's feeling. So it's either that or he was up all night watching the TGL. We got lots of TGL to discuss in this podcast. It was a big night of TGL, and I know he's a huge fan of that. But a fantastic replacement and great to see you, Wazza. Last week I wasn't in attendance due to Jeremy Chapman's funeral. That was on the Tuesday, and it was in Leatherhead. It was a long trek and that, but it all worked out wonderfully well with regards to Sweet Spot, because there's absolutely no way I would have been tipping Jordan Gumbo for the Haining Classic. An unbelievable shout from James Mason.
Yeah, fantastic effort from James Mason. And in honour, you have to say, of Jeremy Chapman, really, for us to tip up a three-figure winner in the Haining Classic. More on that in a few moments' time. But time to reflect, firstly, on what happened last week. And as we mentioned there, Jordan Gumbo, the winner in China. Not that we got to see much of it, Steve, because this wasn't televised, this event, which is a little bit of a shame, but it was the American who went for a wire-to-wire victory.
Yeah, not just any old winner, a 100-to-1 winner, and that was his second DP World Tour victory. And the first DP World Tour victory was almost exactly 2 years previous. So March is obviously Jordan Gumbo's favourite month. He turns 31 next month. Really accurate driver, good iron player, but doesn't hit it very far, Wazza. He was 126th on the DP World Tour rankings for driving distance last season, 97th this season, so below tour average. And the leaderboard was surprising in that respect. The Haining Classic last year just dominated by bombers. The Blackstone course is 7,637 yards. So last year, Marco Penge won that. Christopher Reitan and Sean Crocker were second. This time, there wasn't a big hitter in sight, Wazza. You got Gumbo dueling with Jorge Campillo, who's a powder puff driver. Adrian Ategui finished third. So I don't know whether the introduction of that new course changed things. You know, they played 18 holes at a different course this time,
yeah,
which is tighter and fiddlier. But there's still 54 holes on the Blackstone. So, yeah, all very confusing. Wazza, glad I wasn't involved. Glad it worked out so wonderfully for the Sweet Spotters. And as you say, must have been pure hell for James. I mean, you're his friend. You've probably been liaising with him, but to follow a non-televised event is excruciating, because I remember being on Marco Penge last year, and Marco Penge had a bit of a lead going into the final hole, so it wasn't as stressful. To have it only one shot between Gumbo and Campillo going at the final hole, that must have been, because you're just refreshing like a madman, and yeah, you know that, you know, a birdie bogey swing and you've lost. So it's a, yeah, I'd imagine he went through the ringer there.
He did indeed. I was very quickly onto him on Sunday to congratulate him. A huge doff of the cap even to James Mason for his selection last week. Notice, Steve, there was a few Englishmen up and around the top end of the leaderboard last week. Marcus Armitage in a tie for third. Top 10 finishes for Eddie Pepperell and Andy Sullivan. Anything else for you to take away from last week's Haining Classic?
Well, if it was televised, I would have been keeping a close eye on Yanhang Zhao. I mean, Yanhang Zhao is 17 years of age, this new Chinese wonder kid. And he finished third last week at around 50-1. And the fact he was 50-1 shows the respect that the bookmakers are having for him. You know, this is a 17-year-old, but he's won 11 times on the China Tour. 11 times already. You know, if he can perform outside of his homeland, he's going to get opportunities to play outside of China now. It'd be interesting to see how he goes, but he's clearly got an enormous amount of talent. So Yanhang Zhao, exciting times.
Definitely one to watch at the age of just 17. That is the DP World Tour ticked off then in terms of last week's review. We're going to head to LIV Golf now, because we have back-to-back successes for Bryson DeChambeau to celebrate. There were tears, Steve, off the back of this from Beefy Bryson. It wasn't necessarily expected that he would be so emotional about it, but he held off John Rahm in order to claim another victory.
Yeah, we don't know what the tears are for. He's telling us he can't. He said he couldn't talk about why. He's having a few issues in his personal life, it seems. But he doesn't want to talk about it. But yeah, hugely emotional immediately afterwards and in the media conference. He broke down in the media conference. He's playing well again. He's playing really well again. Back-to-back wins for Bryson. The Crushers won the team event as well. So a double whammy. They just pipped the South Africans. And it was a brilliant event, Wadzer. I know Liv has got lots of haters and people will never warm to it, but you have to accept it. They've got some excellent events now. You know, Liv Adelaide is fantastic. Liv South Africa is a new one. This was the inaugural Liv South Africa. It was billed as the biggest golf tournament in South Africa since the 2003 President's Cup. You probably remember that one. But yeah, the South African golf fans loved coming out, seeing your Bryson DeChambeaus, your John Rahms. And there was a wonderful moment on the 72nd hole when Bryson DeChambeau's playing the 72nd hole. He's got to get up and down to get in the playoff. And the South African galleries just started singing the national anthem, was it? I don't know whether you've seen it. Bryson DeChambeau had to, the whole crowd singing the national anthem of South Africa. And Bryson DeChambeau had to pause and just wander around for a bit before he played his third shot. And then he did well to compose himself, got up and down and got into the playoff. But the South Africans loved it. The Southern Guards just shy of victory, finished one shot behind Crushers, the all South African team. And I just want to talk about Bryson DeChambeau's shot in the playoff, was it? Because I think it was one of the best shots I've ever seen. Have you seen the playoff?
I have, yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the best shots I've ever seen because I don't know how much golf you play, was it? Are you a fair weather golfer you play?
I'm a kind of March to October golfer. I'm about 14 at the moment, so I'm not.
Oh,
not,
wow.
I'm
getting That's solid. But you know those sort of bare, muddy lies you get on a wet golf course? You know,
yes,
it's been raining. Yeah. And then, you know, if you're playing on pretty poor golf courses, you see this a lot. You know, you're just playing off wet, squelchy mud just off the fairway side where there's not a lot of grass.
Yeah.
And DeChambeau faced that shot in the playoff. And you've got to get the contact absolutely perfect on a shot like that. He's 295 yards away. And he's got that horrible lie, and he's taking the free wood. You know, there's to get to the green and get pin high. He gave himself an easy two putt birdie. I just thought that was an incredible shot, and he's just got phenomenal power, isn't he? You know, Rahm didn't reach that green. DeChambeau's tools, DeChambeau's power is truly phenomenal sometimes, and as you say, really emotional afterwards. Yeah, we won't see him again till the Masters. You know.
And talking of that, I mean, obviously he and John Rahm battling it out there in the playoff to try and win in South Africa. But both of those two will have their minds now, you feel, fully fixed on Augusta. Who, in your opinion, is better placed to put in a challenge at the Masters?
Well, John Rahm, just hugely consistent. Obviously a former Masters champion. I'd prefer John Rahm. John Rahm's chances. I mean, his form figures this season are 2-2-1-2. So John Rahm conceivably could have won all four events. 64-63 over the weekend, 26 under par for 72 holes and didn't win. Yeah, it's a tough school. But I think both of them are negatives in terms of the live schedule. I think the live schedule is terrible for Masters preparation. Yeah, this season, DeChambeau and Rahm have played Riyadh, Liv Adelaide, Liv Hong Kong, Liv Singapore, Liv South Africa. So no stateside events, no course which bears similarities to Augusta. I really think the Liv guys are at a disadvantage when it comes to the Masters. They just don't get the right sort of competition for Augusta. We'll come to the PGA Tour event this week, which is ideal preparation. I don't know. I they're both playing superb golf, but not on the right type of golf course.
No, just one more thing for me to say on the Live South Africa event. I saw a video clip of Paul Casey at the back of the 18th green saying that it's his now favourite event on the Live Tour that has overtaken Live Adelaide as well. So, again, you know, some major praise there in terms of how it went last week. And certainly from the response that we got from the likes of DeChambeau and Rahm as well, that could be a positive for the tour.
Well, absolutely. Paul Casey he was very emotional in the media conference afterwards. He's in the Crushers team and you had the Crushers lined up. Paul Casey said he couldn't find a fairway last week and he was lucky to be in a winning team. But he said his father was South African. He said he was conceived in South Africa, Paul Casey did. So
that's a bit more information than we wanted.
that drew a few titters from the media men. So Paul Casey's got some South African ancestry, which I certainly didn't know about. Live South Africa is a great event. I wanted Dean Burmester to win. I had one bet on Live South Africa and I backed Dean Burmester each way and he finished sixth, one shot outside of the places. 20-1 Dean Burmester was a good bet for me, but 22 under par and not enough to place. I mean, it was a really low scoring affair last week on a soft golf course, but you know, the Masters is not going to be like that.
Well, that's what happened then on the LIV Tour. They take a bit of a break now, but no such break for the PGA Tour. And they had the Valspar Championship, of course, taking centre stage last week. And we had an English winner as Matt Fitzpatrick bounced back from that frustration at the Players' Championship. And I think probably every neutral, Steve, will be really delighted for the Yorkshireman.
Yeah, I was really pleased for Matt Fitzpatrick. You know, such a gutsy effort. Because, he got some stick off the crowd at Sawgrass as well, didn't he? So, it was an unfortunate runner-up finish at Sawgrass. Didn't do a lot wrong. Cameron Young just played brilliantly over those closing two holes. But Fitzpatrick deserved a win this year because he's been hitting the ball so well. I mean, you're a proud Yorkshireman, Wazza. You would have been, he's one of your heroes. I bet you got a picture of Matt Fitzpatrick on your bedroom wall, haven't you? he's just been knuckling down this year, hitting his ball with real authority. And it was rock-solid ball striking that won him the Valspar. He didn't hole any putts, did he?
I mean, Not until the last.
Yeah, 68, 69, 68, 68. It was just rock-solid ball striking and, efficient work on the greens. We tipped him at 7-2 on Golfwise Extra on Sunday morning. Was it? The Sunday tips have been going really well this year. The Tuesday tips, not so good. I was delighted for Matt Fitzpatrick. And the big question that you and your army of Fitzpatrick lovers will be asking is, has he got another US Open victory in him? This is a US Open champion. This is a fella that proved himself in the Ryder Cup Bear Pit last year. I mean, I had my doubts about whether we should have a more dynamic player in there like Nicolai Hoggar, but Fitzpatrick proved me wrong there. And I thought his Ryder Cup performance was magnificent. So he's got loads of Yorkshire grit.
He has, and that you can't make that up. That's something that's been bred into him, and certainly the way that he responded after what happened to the Players, it could have been quite easy just to sort of disintegrate a little bit and drop down the leaderboard over the coming weeks. But to respond in that way was really impressive. He wasn't the only Englishman who, of course, enjoyed a good week at the Copperhead course, because Jordan Smith and Marco Penge were inside the top five as well. Marco Penge in particular is an interesting performance. Steve, what did you make of that?
Yeah, nice to see, because he changed clubs, didn't he, at the start of the year. So it was a surprising move to switch to a new club manufacturer, but maybe he's settling with those tools now. He's playing this week on a much more suitable track. So he's a tempting option this week, is Marco Penge. In terms of the majors to come, Xander Schauffele, keep a close eye on Xander Schauffele. I'm so pleased we've got him in our majors ACCA. We do a majors ACCA at the start of the year, Wazza, and Schauffele's in that. And I think he's moving through the gears really nicely. Everything was pretty solid last week. Approach play was really good. Didn't chip particularly well, but that'll be a short term thing. So I thought Schauffele had a chance last on Sunday. He posted 8-under an early clubhouse lead. If the wind had got up, he might have had a chance of victory. But the wind never did get up. But keep an eye on Xander Schauffele, or Xander Schuhfly, as my daughter calls him now. I was watching the golf on Sunday night with my daughter, and she goes, "Is that fella called Schuhfly?" So that's what I'm going to call him from now on. If you get really smelly feet, perhaps you get some shoe flies in there.
I tell you what, I did want to mention as well was Brooks Koepka, because we're starting to see him make a bit of an impact on his return to the PGA Tour, Steve. He was tied 18th in the end. Granted, there were three rounds above 70 amongst that, but to finish on 4-under par with the Masters round the corner will be a lift, I'm sure, to his confidence.
Yeah, he's close. Brooks Koepka is close, and we know he can perform at the Masters. He's gone close there before. Really encouraging signs. Obviously, that form has come in his home state of Florida. It'll be interesting to see how he goes this week. He actually helped with the design of this course, the Memorial Park, the host of the Houston Open, which we'll come to. So he knows the course well. Koepka very much on my radar for the Masters.
Okay, that wraps up then the Valspar Championship.
I just wanted to mention Jordan Spieth as well. Talking about Masters radars, because we haven't got long to go now. And I just wanted to quickly mention Jordan Spieth, who I think is also on Masters radar and is also really close. It's the first time in ages he's been fully fit, Wazza. It's the first time in ages that he's spoken positively about his swing. He's a really happy chappy in terms of his swing. Missed a lot of short putts last week. Finished 11th, but I think Spieth fans can be really excited. You know, we say Kupka likes Augusta. Jordan Spieth adores Augusta, and I just wanted to. Just wanted to alert, well flagged up.
Six shots behind Fitzpatrick in the end, Jordan Spieth, but certainly on the right track, you feel, ahead of the Masters. So we'll move on to the fourth review of this week, because the TGL, we mentioned it earlier, of course, because Dave's a big fan, but the TGA final is coming up very shortly. And the big news is that Tiger Woods looks set to feature in that final. And then off the back of that, Steve, could we see him at Augusta?
Well, the fact he's playing tonight is really encouraging in terms of him teeing up at Augusta. I still think it's really in the balance on whether we do. I mean, I stayed up virtually all night last night to watch the TGL, because this is a three-match final series, you see. So the final's played over potentially three matches. If one team wins the first two, then it's over. But so last night we had match one, and Los Angeles won 6-5. It was a really tight affair. I fell asleep when Los Angeles were in full control. We tipped Los Angeles at the start of the season, was in our golf season preview. They were our TGL pick at 9-2. So desperate for winners at the moment, and wanted to see how they got on in match one. So stayed up. And as I say, it was going well, and then drifted off, and then woke up and saw a tie. You know, Max Homer and Tom Kim played really well in the singles to make it close. But so it's 1-0 LA. And then tonight, match two starts about 11 p.m. UK and Ireland time. And as you say, the big news is Tiger Woods is replacing Kevin Kisner. I mean, I had the biggest TGL bet I've ever had. I don't encourage TGL bet. I think it's a bit risky, and are they taking it seriously? But you could see last night that they were taking it seriously. And the bookies very slow yesterday to work out that Akshay Bhatia was not going to be playing for Jupiter Links, because Akshay Bhatia will come to the Indian Open. He's playing in the Indian Open. So that's their best player. Jupiter Links, shorn of their best player for the finals. Tiger Woods would have been fuming about that. So then Kevin Kisner, one of the worst players in the whole league, replaced Akshay Bhatia. So yeah, LA was should have been like 4-11 favorites, and they were easier to back at 8-11 to win the TGL yesterday. So for the first time ever, really, I showed a lot of interest in the TGL and thoroughly enjoyed it. So tune in tonight, 11 p.m. See Tiger Woods in action, and then assess his fitness with regards to the Masters.
I read an article this week that said by 2030, you're going to have more people playing indoor screen golf a la the TGL than you will do playing outdoor golf, which just blows my mind, to be quite honest with you. But honestly, they were making points about how the weather's changed, and how for certain periods of the year, you're not going to obviously be able to get out on the course a lot of the time due to the weather. So, and TGL obviously has a massive impact on that, doesn't it? I mean, you are going to get a different type of golf fan probably watching it.
Yeah. I'd be interested to read that. What was your source? I mean, that's a phenomenal.
I'll send you the link.
Send me the link. Is that something to do with the end of the world? Yeah, the weather's going to be so bad that we can't get outside. I mean, you just got.
I think it's just the fact that we've had a very wet winter, and so they're saying that obviously people can't get out on the course as much.
Well, I hope that's not the case. I mean, Jeremy Chapman will be turning in his grave if that's the case. If outdoor golf is being replaced by indoor golf, that would be sad, wouldn't it? We shall see, Wadda. But TGL excitement reaching its peak with Tiger Woods' return. Hasn't played all season.
No, he hasn't, and it will be interesting to see how he gets on with, as I say, a view to him potentially teeing it up at Augusta. Let's get on to this week's other events then, and the outdoor events are on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour as well. And we'll start off with the DP World Tour, because they move from China to India this week. It's the DLF Golf and Country Club, the venue for the Indian Open. Firstly, Steve, tell us a bit about the course.
Just got really windy here. It's almost like God was listening to our conversation here and just give me a little reminder. Like suddenly the wind speed got up to like 40 miles an hour. He's telling us that indoor golf is all we've got left. This week we got some outdoor golf in the Indian Open, the signature course, DLF Golf and Country Club, New Delhi, India, 7,416 yards, par 72, four par fives. The DLF has hosted this event in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2023 and 2024, and last year. We also had an Asian Tour event there in February last year, the International Series India. It's a Gary Player design. Eddie Pepperell famously stated that it was designed by Satan, which is not hugely complimentary to Gary Player, but Pepperell referring to its difficulty. Yeah, this is a quirky course, serious trouble spots lurking everywhere. You know, every shot has the potential for disaster. You see loads of doubles, trebles, quads. The greens full of grain and undulation. So yeah, you've got to be accurate from tee to green, Wazza, and show great touch on and around the greens. Sunny, hot, calm weather coming. A field of 138 going to post. Get your bets on by 1:30 a.m. UK time Thursday morning.
Before I run you through the main protagonists in terms of the top of the betting, how many tips have we got this week, Steve, for the Indian Open?
Just three, Wazza. Okay.
Three tips on the way very shortly from Steve. In terms of the betting, we mentioned briefly before, Akshay Bhatia is in the field this week, and he is the favourite going into this. David Puig, Angel Ayora, Casey Jarvis, Dan Bradbury and Jorge Campillo also on the top of the betting ahead of Thursday's start. And we have got three tips then from Stephen, who is our main selection.
It's Alex Fitzpatrick, Wazza. I think this is going to be a glorious fortnight for the Fitzpatrick family. Matt won the Valspar on Sunday. Now his little brother can do likewise in India. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2023. He finished 17th in the Open that year. That was his only major start so far. And he's been threatening a breakthrough on the DP World Tour ever since. This looks a golden opportunity. He came close in India in October. You remember the India Championship, the inaugural India Championship. Tommy Fleetwood won that one. Kaito Nakajima was second. Alex Fitzpatrick was third. In 2023, playing in only his 10th DP World Tour event, he was ranked 783 in the world at the time. He finished 25th on his Indian Open debut at the DLF. He finished 9th in a Challenge Tour event in India a few weeks later. He was 17th in last year's Indian Open. So he likes playing in this country, can handle the grain. And this week he's arrived in really encouraging form. He's played 6 tournaments this year. 5 of them have yielded a top 25 finish. In his last 2 events, he's finished 14th in the South African Open, 6th in the Joburg Open. His approach play has been excellent. His short game is always good. Putted well last time he came to India in that India Championship. So, yeah, long live the Fitzpatrick brothers. Long live Yorkshire.
And you do feel like, you know, there is a bit of a bounce from his brother doing well. It can only help his confidence going into this.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Alex knows how good he is. I don't think there's as big a gap between the two in talent. I've said this before. I mean, Alex Fitzpatrick as an amateur was really impressive. I just think it comes down to opportunity somewhat sometimes. I mean, just timing. When you play well. I still think Alex Fitzpatrick, can have a really, really successful career. He's obviously got a lot of catching up to do on his brother. But, yeah, this could be the start of it in terms of, getting a maiden DP World Tour title.
Okay, Alex Fitzpatrick is the main selection for Steve for the Indian Open. 2 more picks. Who's our second pick, Steve?
Jorge Campillo, who played really well last week on a course which doesn't really suit him. As we discussed earlier, Jordan Gumberg said after winning on Sunday that Campillo played the best golf on Sunday. It's just Gumberg held the putts. He putted really well. Campillo didn't get anything to drop. I mean, the fact that Campillo's ball striking was so good last week makes him of real interest this week because it's the key to success at the DLF. Stay out of trouble. You know, Campillo is a great fit for this assignment, neat and tidy. He was 2nd for greens in regulation in round 1 last week. He was 7th in round 2. He was 1st in round 3, 1st in round 4. So elite ball striking from Campillo over the weekend of the Heinen Classic. Cold putter cost him victory. 1 shot defeat. I can see him going one better at a more suitable track this week. The last 5 Indian Open winners have been European. All 3 of my tips are European. Campillo has proven himself on this track in the past. He finished 3rd in 2019, 4th in 2023. He's played 7 tournaments this year, 5 top 20s. He was 11th in that India Championship that I mentioned in October. So I think Campillo will threaten a 4th DP World Tour title on Sunday.
Okay, we had a Spanish winner of this event last year. Will it be another this time around with Jorge Campillo? He is the second of the 3 picks then for the Indian Open. And finally, Steve, who's pick number 3?
Martin Kuvre, the 2025 Rookie of the Year. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2023 when he was still an amateur. He won on the DP World Tour last May, final round 64 in the Turkish Airlines Open, and weekend rounds of 69-67 for ninth place in the Heineken Classic on Sunday sent him to India with high hopes of a second DP World Tour title. Kuvra was second for greens in regulation in round one of the Heineken Classic. He was third for greens in regulation in round four of the Heineken Classic. The putter is sizzling again on Sunday. Only one player outscored him in the final round. So really encouraging putting performance. The putter came alive on Sunday. The putter in that final round in Turkey was absolutely glorious. One of the best days I've ever had watching Martin Kuvra putt in that Turkish Airlines Open last May. I just think he's looking like he's got his A game back. He made his India Open, he made his India debut in the 2024 Delhi Challenge, a Challenge Tour event. He finished ninth in that, and he made his Indian Open debut last year, finished 31st. But bear in mind, DP World Tour maiden at the time, DP World Tour rookie, world number 276. Now he's returning as a fully established champion. He was 19th in that high class India Championship in October. Very accurate player, 23 years old. Martin Kuvra was a...
Okay, so three European selections at the Indian Open this week. I imagine there's going to be a lot of attention for Akshay Bhatia. Is that maybe putting you off a little bit in terms of, you know, the hype of him coming off the PGA Tour to come and play this week, Steve?
It's been a load of early money for Akshay Bhatia. I mean, he's pleasing his sponsors by playing in this because Hero are one of his main sponsors. This is the Hero Indian Open. He's pleasing his parents by playing in this, was it? Because his parents are from India. They grew up in Delhi and then they moved to the States. He's displeasing Tiger Woods, as we've discussed, because Tiger Woods would be fuming that he didn't have his best player for the final of the TGL. The prices that Bhatia is now, just no interest. You know, this is a course debutant. He's been playing great on the PGA Tour. It's a quirky course, as I mentioned. It takes plenty of getting to know, and it's not the sort of course you want to play when you're overconfident, which actually Bhatia probably is at the moment, given how well it's been going on the PGA Tour. Yeah, you've got to treat this course with respect. You've got to play the percentages, Wazza. And I think Akshay Bhatia might turn up a little bit cocky and come a cropper. I wouldn't really want to be backing anyone at the odds he is now. Like, yeah, this is a course where anyone can make a quadruple bogey in a flash. My three bigger prices much prefer.
Okay, and just a quick word on anybody who maybe just missed the list. I mean, Casey Jarvis was one that I thought you might be tempted by, considering his recent form.
Yeah, he's had 3 weeks off since that golden spell. He played 8 weeks in a row and then just, you know, he won twice, second in the final event. You know, can he get going again straight away? I don't know. Remember, all those, you know, all that success was in Africa, wasn't it? In his home continent. This obviously isn't in Africa, so I can deal with that. I can deal with that. Casey Jarvis at short prices. I think David Pooj is a very short price, another one of my favourites, but he's a very attacking player, probably too attacking for the DLF. I can't trust him at those odds. And the same you could say about Angel Ayora, really. I think he'll come unstuck somewhere. I think he'll make loads of birdies and throw a big snowman in somewhere because he can't resist gunning at pins. And yeah, as I say, you've got to respect the DLF. I like my three.
Okay, well, three selections for Steve then for the Indian Open, and we'll confirm those again for you at the end of the show in case you missed it. We'll turn our attentions though now over to the US PGA Tour because it's the Houston Open to look forward to this week, and it is on a municipal course at the Memorial Park Golf Course. You said a municipal course in the UK was hosting a DP World Tour event. You'd have a few raised eyebrows, but the municipal courses in the States are certainly of a higher quality, and this will be a cracking event to look forward to. Steve, what can we expect from the course and the setup this week?
Yeah, Memorial Park Golf Course, Houston, Texas, 7,475 yards, par 70, three par fives. It's hosted since November 2020. We had three November editions of this event. There was no tournament in 2023, and then we had two March editions of this event the last 2 years. Wide fairways. It's a second shot course, really. The greens full of slope, runoff areas around them. So I'd say accurate approaches to the elevated greens is the main challenge of Memorial Park. And yeah, statistics would suggest you need to putt well to win this. But all five winners of the Houston Open at Memorial Park finished in the top five for strokes gained putting. So, yeah, I'd say accurate approach playing and strong putting. A field of 135 going to post, sunny and warm throughout, light to moderate breezes. Place your bets by 12:20 p.m. UK time on Thursday.
Defending champion is Minwoo Lee, and probably not surprisingly, he's up towards the top of the betting, but not the favourite because the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, will play in Houston this week. As I say, Minwoo Lee is second favourite across the board pretty much at the moment. Chris Gotterup, Jake Knapp and Brooks Koepka alongside him in terms of battling for second favouritism. In terms of your tips for this event, Steve, how many are we looking at for the Houston Open?
Just three in this as well, was there?
Okay, a 3-3 formation this week. And the main tip then, Steve, for the Houston Open is?
Is Chris Gotterup, who has won four times on the PGA Tour. He's only 26 years of age. I'm still not getting the respect he deserves, I think. Two of those four wins were in really good company. The Scottish Open last year fended off Rory McIlroy. The Phoenix Open this year left Scottie Scheffler in his wake, beat Hideki Matsuyama in a playoff. We're dealing with one of the best young players in the world here. Wedges is probably his slight weakness. He has the odd off day with the putter, but put him on a big ballpark like this one, let him loose with the driver, attack him wide fairways, frightening prospect on this sort of course. He's a really strong amateur, was a quickly made his mark on the PGA Tour, finished third in the Open last year, his Open debut, finishing third. Spectacular effort. He's really effective in the wind. We got some moderate breeze in the afternoons this week. Yeah, Gotterup has got a great range of shots. He's probably one of the best with the stinger shot of anyone out there. Like he's fantastic at drilling low irons that run a mile. So I like the weather forecast. I like the course setup. And since that win in Phoenix, he hasn't really played any suitable tracks. Memorial Park is ideal. He finished 57th as world number 263 on his Houston debut in 2024, 18th last year as world number 228. Now he's returning as world number 10. I just can't see him not contending.
Well, you mentioned there that he's potentially overlooked by quite a few people. I mean, it's a bit of a controversy at the moment about the world rankings, but if you look at it, he's world number 10 at the moment, Chris Gotterup, yeah. And they say just doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Yeah. And ahead of major season, is he somebody that, you know, you could be looking at a pretty big price, the challenge for the majors?
Yeah, and don't forget, live events get world ranking points now. Yeah, the world rankings are stabilising a bit. You know, Rahm and DeChambeau are getting back to where they should be. Chris Gotterup, world number 10, as you say. Yeah, he's not a fashionable name. He's not a fashionable sportsman. You know, he doesn't impress. He's just no frills. Yeah. He's like a grip it and rip it type of character. And some of the shaft lean on his wedges is just phenomenal. You feel like he's going to hit the earth's crust when he comes into the ball. But I'd say that's just digging into the earth's crust. But I have slight concerns about his wedge play. But if he can make his wedge play a bit more, a bit prettier, a bit more finesse with his wedges, I think he's got huge potential to be one of the best players in the world for a long time. I absolutely consider him for majors, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, Chris Gotterup is the main pick then for the Houston Open. Two more selections, Steve. Who's pick number two?
Minwoo Lee. As you say, defending champion. He reached 20 under par on his Houston Open debut 12 months ago. Scottie Scheffler breathing down his neck. Fell in love with Memorial Park. Maiden PGA Tour title. He's won three times on the DP World Tour. Fifth in the 2023 US Open. So, yeah, I'm backing two of the most talented youngsters in the world here. I think we can get the favourite beaten. I think Gotterup and Lee are by far the most likely to defeat Scottie Scheffler. I think there should be a bigger gap in the betting between Gotterup and Lee and the rest. You mentioned all the others. I think Gotterup and Lee are the two outstanding candidates for bringing down Scheffler this week. Minwoo Lee has not missed a cut since the first week of October. He's gone nine tournaments without finishing outside the top 40. Second in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am last month. 12th in the Genesis. Sixth in the Arnold Palmer. Playing superbly. Just got a puppy, was a. Just bought a puppy called Ozzy. So he seems really happy at the moment. He's fallen in love with his puppy called Ozzy. Minwoo Lee playing superbly, coming to a course which suits him better than all those other ones that he's been contending on. Yeah, I think the chef, as he likes to call himself, could upset the chef. You know, he's let him cook. You know, he likes to say let him cook. He likes to be known as the chef. Where's the chef's hat? Did you know all about
it? Yes. Yeah. He's a big cook, isn't he? Yeah. I tell you what, yeah. I would absolutely be delighted if he wins and the little puppy comes running on the 18th green on Sunday. That would be a fantastic scene.
It's a really cute puppy, actually. Yeah, I've seen it on the Instagram. Yeah, all is well. Yeah, Minwoo Lee's got every chance of defending this title. So, yeah, we go with those two rising stars of the game. Both of them can win majors. Minwoo Lee can win majors. He's that good.
No, I'd agree. I agree. And I think he's sort of almost maybe a little lacking in self-belief in terms of being as good as he is, Steve, I sometimes feel with Minwoo Lee, because you know, on occasions he has, like you say, won this title last year, but he's also been there or thereabouts in other major tournaments. You just feel like, just believe in yourself, you could actually take that next step.
He's excelled at Augusta as well. There was a 9-hole stretch at Augusta where he just obliterated the course over 9 holes. So he's definitely could be a factor at Augusta as well. Yeah, maybe the sibling rivalry is the reason for that. Was, you know, the sister is obviously a major champion. He's Minji Lee. So, like, maybe she's just always in the shadow of his sister. Believe in yourself, Minwoo. Yeah, I believe in you. I believe in you.
They're the two first picks then for Steve. Chris Gotterup and Minwoo Lee for the Houston Open. We've got one more selection, Steve, and who is it?
William Miao, 25-year-old Californian, strapping 6-footer, strong ball striker, made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the ISCO Championship last year, final round 61 in that. 2025 was a huge year for William Miao. He got married in May to the lovely Hannah. Their first child came in September. Little Adeline was the first of the Meow kittens. So there was a lot to take in for a PGA Tour rookie. So he's a PGA Tour rookie last year, gets the win, gets married, kid arrives. Everything was happening for him. And I think he had every right to start this year a bit sluggish. He was very slow out the blocks this year, but the signs lately have been really positive. He finished 6th in the Cognizant Classic at the start of this month. Then he was 24th in the Players' Championship on his last appearance. So, he's banked 2 really healthy checks there. Really encouraging signs that his game is coming around. He finished 47th on his Houston Open debut last year. That was after making a slow start to his rookie campaign. So he had no form coming into this event last year. Finished 47th. So it's a solid effort. You know, he's a really powerful player. I think he can take advantage of these wide fairways. When I saw the odds of William Miao, I think they're disrespectful. This is a really promising young player who's definitely still improving.
3 figures as I scroll down to see William Miao's price for this week. We had a 3-figure winner from James Mason last week. Could it be the same again this time around? We've also gone from a puppy to a meow sound in the space of 20 seconds.
So, what do you like more, was it?
That works, but
it does. Dogs more than kittens? It's a big debate, isn't it? Did you like dogs more than cats?
I'm more a dog person, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I'm more a dog person, yeah. Particularly greyhounds and, the reason Dave's probably suffering is all the other outrageous decisions being made by politicians over greyhound racing. Long live greyhound racing, long live dogs. But cats can get a bit menacing, can't they? I've had some bad experiences with cats.
Yeah, I have. I've seen my friend close up be absolutely scratched his face off by a cat previously.
Have you? So, my God. Well, I've seen a cat attack my dog because I've got a really small dog. Sorry, was it? We've gone off piste here. But, I was walking my dog, Coco, little Coco the Multipoo, up a road, and then a cat came out of nowhere and tried to kill Coco, and did a really good job of getting the claws in there, and I had to, well, it doesn't sound great, but I think there's a footballer got in trouble, but I was in self-defense, I had to kick the cat. So we'll see whether that makes the end.
Protecting the dog.
Yeah, I was protecting the dog. If the cat's going to kill your dog, you've got every right to kick the cat, haven't you? I only had flip-flops on, but it was enough to get the cat away from Coco. It's a really, really, really distressing incident. It's a long story, Wazza. We
haven't got time for that. That's fair enough. But William Yao is the third selection for the Houston Open. And it will be remiss of me, Steve, not to mention that Scotty Scheffler, of course, is absent from the list. And understandably, he goes into it as a firm favourite. But the short prices these days, I'm assuming, is part of the reason why you just can't take him on.
Yeah, and he's really grouchy. He's been really grouchy in his media conferences. He's getting annoyed. He's challenged reporters when they ask a question he doesn't like. He's been saying to reporters, if you flipped my results this season, would you still say I'm having a bad year? Because obviously he won his first event of the year, then his form's tailed off a bit. So when the reporters have been saying, oh, what's going on? You dropped a level. He's saying, if my results are the other way around, would you be saying that? But yeah. So he's as grouchy as anything. I can see why he's a bit grouchy, because I think it's being overblown, this supposed crisis. But the drop in approach play is approach play stats. It's a sample size that's going up now. We've seen scrappy approach play by his extremely high standards recently. So he'd be desperate to get his approach play fixed before the Masters. He's still got time. He'd be desperate to play well this week. Memorial Park is a course he likes, but he's never won there. He's never won there, and he plays virtually every year. Form figures of 28, 32, 2, 9, 2, 2. So three-time runner-up, really determined to end all this negative chat. But, I prefer the Lee Gotterup package to Scheffler.
I just did a bit of research there. I was checking out how old Scotty Scheffler's son is these days, and he's almost two. So I wonder whether that's part of the reason why he's grumpy. He might be just being poked with a stick by a toddler and being asked why every 2 seconds. So that might be getting to
that might be.
We've all been there, Steve. We've all had it.
I'm still there. My son's six. He still likes to poke me.
So Scotty Scheffler, obviously, as I say, the standout favourite. Anybody else that maybe caught the eye? Or, I mean, Marco Penge is another one that you mentioned earlier on who's in good nick.
Yeah, I think Penge will like this course. You never rule out Marco Penge. Harris English was tempting. I think Harris English is playing a decent level. He missed the cut at Sawgrass last time out, but he never plays well at Sawgrass. So, Harris English was the last one off my list. Ricky Fowler's playing well, Wazza. Ricky Fowler, threatening to become a factor again. So, I say English and Fowler were the closest to getting in there, but I just want me three. I'm excited, Wazza. I think this is going to be a good week. And we've only got three tournaments until the Masters now. There's only one next week. So, that's the best betting event of the year. It'd be nice to hit the, get to the Masters on the front foot.
Yeah, a bit of form going into it. Yeah, it is very close indeed to the Masters, of course, and we'll have all the build-up here on the Sweet Spot and a major preview for you in the week of Augusta. But we have, as I say, those two tournaments to look forward to this week, the Indian Open and the Houston Open. And time now to reflect on Steve's tips for those two events. Let's start, Steve, with your three selections for the India Open.
Alex Fitzpatrick, Jorge Campillo, Martin Kuvra.
And we've also got a triple header for the Houston Open as well, and they are
Chris Gotterup, Minwoo Lee, William Miao. And I just want to make clear that the cat was fine. I did only have flip-flops on. I know the cat lovers are going to go bananas about this, but I had no choice. If you see your beloved dog about to die, Coco's so tiny. This cat was massive. It's like a tiger. It was a ginger cat, huge. And if I didn't do anything, my dog would have died. I had to do something. As I say, I only had flip flops on, and I did see the cat was fine.
No cats were injured in this broadcast.
now the cat was fine. Much better fettle than Coco was. So, it was. I was pretty angry about what went on there. Yeah, I can imagine.
But Coco's all fine as well. All good.
Yeah, Coco recovered I just want to make that clear, because I know that Premiership footballer, can't remember who he was, but he deserved Kurt the Zuma. Book to be Kurt Zuma, he deserved the book to be thrown at him. I mean, that is outrageous conduct. There was no self-defense issue there, was there?
William Meow will certainly have you back liking cats if he comes in this week at three figures. That's certainly the case. Absolutely. Big thanks to Steve for his input this week, and of course the six bets to follow across the week. We will be back, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel to look ahead to next week's tournaments, in particular the Texas Open. Just a reminder, of course, as well, that April is Masters Month and it is just around the corner, and we'll have plenty in the build-up to Augusta as well. In the meantime, like, comment, share and subscribe, of course, to the Racing Post YouTube channel. We'll be back next week. Remember, though, to enjoy your golf and please gamble responsibly.